Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Addy, third hour, Tinky and Tierney on a Monday here, coast to coast nationwide, 3 to 6 and noon to 3 Pacific. What's happening? Coming to you live from our Quicken Loan studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Remember when I said Sergio was going to win the Masters? Boldly,
yeah, I did
proclaim that.
I remember. You were correct.
I'm very close to doing the same with Tiger Woods this week at a Carnoustie. Not there yet. If I do it, it's going to be done tomorrow on the show. We shall see. I want to let it marinate another 24 hours.
Wait till like Wednesday after he has his practice round.
I want to let it get out there. People could challenge it. If he needs a practice round to get himself in shape over in Scotland, then he's probably not going to win. I think he knows that course.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm not saying that he won't play a practice round, but if he's leaning on a practice round to go from off to on, probably not.
You know
how
in the States all the PGA events they do the pro-ams
and usually on Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. They have a practice round. Do they do all that?
I don't know if they do pro-ams at the Open. I believe the pro-ams are a function of sponsorship.
Yeah.
I don't think they do for the U.S. Open or the PGA or the Masters. Definitely the Masters. They're not going to let anybody on the course.
That's my point. But I'm trying to think, are there any for the majors? I don't
think there are.
I'm almost positive there are not. Because when I try to think about like sponsorship around just whatever, I don't see it anywhere.
No, you don't. You'll see signage. Yeah. You'll see like Rolex on some of the tee boxes at the Open Championship.
Or the tents or whatever that are on the sides. Yeah. You know, those big grandstand things. Well, but at the Open Championship, all the ones in the British Open, like I don't think I see a signage anywhere.
They don't want hacks infringing upon their four events that taking divots out of the finely manicured greens and all that stuff, chunking wedges, trying to get it up and down, you know? You know, what Teague and I will do here as I'm getting ready for the second half of the baseball season. Obviously, the Home Run Derby tonight. We're not gonna break down the Home Run Derby. That's pretty boring.
Aaron Judge.
He's
not even in it.
There'll be a lot of home runs.
Bryce Harper.
Somebody's going to win.
Bryce Harper.
I would like to see Bryce win. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
He's the only one I care about, I think.
There's a lot of, I don't even want to say no names, but a lot of names that don't necessarily resonate. Not that they're not deserving.
No, they're good
players.
They're
having terrific seasons.
Good players. They don't connotate the home run. That's a problem.
This year they do. Like, Aguilar's having a beast of a season.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got 23 bombs and Harper and Muncy.
Yeah, but would you have, I don't even know. Nobody knew Muncy until this year.
Like, he's off the radar.
I guess Schwarber.
Schwarber's going to win. That is my call. That is my breakdown of the Derby. He's going to be fun watching. He might actually do a little Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
Circa 2008 if he gets in a group.
Aguilar, how old is Aguilar?
Aguilar is relatively young. I want to say 25.
So only a couple, like only that. A couple years in the majors. So
I'm going to say 25. I could be off a year or two on that.
He's got 39 career home runs. So he's not a home run hitter.
That's what I'm saying. Outside of this year, true. Historically, they're not.
I mean,
they're not names. They're not household names.
Basically, it's Bryce Harper.
Yep.
And Freddie Freeman. They're like the home run hitters here.
Well, I mean, Baez won a World Series.
I understand that.
I think it depends on how much he could get a hit,
much less a home run when they were in the World Series. They won despite him. He's a great fielder, but he couldn't hit two seasons ago.
We've had better
Schwarber
rosters for the Derby.
Would be the one that I'd look at and say, that dude's going to mash it. Hoskins had a great rookie season.
A great second half.
Yes.
Remember, because it was all like kind of bunched
up. But he's got power. He can hit, like, on Home Run Derby, he can hit the ball out.
Maybe.
By the way, Aguilar is 28.
Is he that old? He's 28?
28 with 39 career home runs? He has no shot.
We're really hitting the bottom of the barrel, huh? He's
been
good this year,
though.
I
stand by my case.
You know what I was thinking about talking to Cal? Then we'll get to some predictions. Not even prediction, but storylines for the second half of the baseball season. I was thinking about this with Cal, and this kind of ties into our conversation for the first hour about soccer.
Yeah.
And even then, an extension of that, how some parents are so focused on the specialization of one sport. Let me let my son or daughter play lacrosse or baseball for 12 months. You know, all those ridiculous thoughts and actions that parents are almost prisoners of now. It's really sad. But I look at Cal Ripken. Cal was a terrific basketball player. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that Cal Ripken, who's a big guy, 6 foot five, but he can handle. You're telling me that, you know, his ability to come down maybe on a fast break or a semi-fast break and, you know, kind of juke somebody, doesn't help him around the bank, turning a double play.
Of course.
All it's, transferable
we'll
skills.
See something, anticipate, right? You see a ball come off a bat. You kind of anticipate where it's going to be. You get there. You got your hands around it. I mean, absolutely it does. It's the same thing with wrestling and football or track. And these are the things that I did that helped me as a football player. I was fast, naturally, but refining my skills as a track athlete and being a jumper also, so learning explosion, was invaluable. I think wrestling taught me all about my body and leverage and you know, how to hit people, or more importantly, avoid being hit. So when I hear like parents wanting their kids to travel, do it all season, do it all year long, I it makes me want to scream. And then if your kid actually wants to do it all season long, don't let them. Even if it's just make them go work out for an off season, like with a trainer or something. Don't let them play a sport all season long.
It's crazy. I mean, a guy that I played with at Marist, he's got a school down in Florida, and he's doing well. And I see all those posts, and I always obviously, you know, give him props and like support him. He's my roommate. Yeah. I mean, let alone teammate. He was my roommate. I love him, Trev. Love him like a brother. But I mean, they're doing drills, and these are young. Some of these are young kids, and they're talking about, you know, launch angle, and they're talking about exit velo. Which is a good thing, but he's doing a 12. That's his career. That's Trev's job, and I'm sure a lot of those kids are doing it 12 months a year. I don't know. I know that this is antiquated, but so it's got to be somewhere from what I was used to what we have now, kind of somewhere in the middle. But I remember all these years, and I put this was part of my Facebook post. Playing CYO hoops, my dad would pack our baseball gloves, and once we because he was coaching hoops, and once practice was over. The gym would clear out. I would do long toss. I would pitch as well. He'd throw me some grounders on the floor when nobody was looking because we'd scuff it up. And you know, I was able to at least somewhat stay in the framework of, you know, of baseball. My baseball muscles didn't atrophy.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like being
obsessive
with it. Where you can breathe, and it was still 95% about basketball that day. But hey, this 5%, let's long toss, keep the shoulder. And of course, I had Tommy John surgery, ironically, right? So I'm probably not the best example. But that was years later. This nonsense. I don't know how I'm going to navigate this as a dad.
Yeah,
this is going to be a real challenge. I don't know how I'm going to.
It's going to happen quick too, because he's at that age.
I know it is. All right, so Major League storylines here. We'll give you the first crack. I got my three. Tiki's got three as well.
I mean, my
first one that jumps out.
The first one for me is obvious. It's the one we just talked about with Cal Ripken. Where is Manny Machado headed in the next couple of days? It's interesting because I don't know if we have the sound on Manny Machado talking before the All-Star break, because I never really hear his voice. It's interesting. As national of a profile as he has, you don't hear him talk a lot. But in the sound that I was listening to, before our show started a couple hours ago, I mean, he's talking about the Orioles in the past tense. It's like this lamenting in his voice, and this sense of as Cal Ripken explained it. It's just this angst, right? This uncertainty that's hanging around you because he has no idea where he's going to be before the trade deadline is up, which is in a couple of weeks. But where he ends up is going to be impactful for the postseason. Yankees started the conversation. I think maybe when their name got mentioned, it just got blasted to the top.
By design, by the way.
Exactly. Even if it's, and you mentioned this, you said this, and you're actually right. Maybe if it's not even real, it's just to make other people start, hey, we can't let them get them. We got to go get them. Currently, the Braves and the Phillies, who were obviously both top one and two in the NL East, are the two teams that are the Brewers and the Phillies, Central in the National League, and the Phillies in the East are top the National League. They're the ones that are starting to make the bigger push. So where he ends up is going to be impactful. It's definitely a storyline.
He's so good. Now, lucky for him is that it's only going to be a 2 month rental.
Yeah,
I mean sometimes you get dealt, you got 2-3 years to go. I mean I think Giancarlo Stanton can opt out. He can. I just don't know when it is. It's within a year or two. So he's got some flexibility as well. But if he didn't want to go to – some people don't want to play New York.
Yeah.
If he was dealt to New York and he had no say about it, he's got years to go.
I know.
At least Machado can then redirect his future based on what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Bryce Harper. I mean, this is... We've played a lot of baseball. He's hitting 214, man. He's hitting 214. And I know that average has been de-emphasized, and now OPS in the last 10 years, last 5 to 7 years, OPS clearly the great, probably the best all-encompassing stat for offensive prowess here. But, I mean, this guy is in line for a $400 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's hitting 214. And everybody assumes, wow, he's going to go bonkers in the second half. Let me ask you something. What happens if Bryce Harper hits 209 in the second half?
Yeah. What if it's much of the same or worse?
Yeah, don't tell me it can't happen. And when you project his numbers forward, as many home runs as he has, he's right now projected to finish with 39 home runs and 91 RBIs.
Wow.
I don't want to say 91 RBIs is pedestrian, but it's not 120. I mean,
and he's never had over 100, BC.
He's never had over 100. He had 99 once. And he played 152 times games that year, about 3 years ago, I think. And even more incriminating, if I could use that word for a baseball player, his OPS is below 850 this season. So, listen, I wouldn't be stunned if he hits 310 and he rifles 20 more bombs and he goes into free agency and gets the $400 million. But if he doesn't, it's going to be a very interesting market for Bryce. Not to mention the Nationals, who are really underachieving this season, as we said, in third place behind a couple of the teams that shouldn't be where they are. So Bryce Harper, number one for me.
Yeah, my next story that you can't help but look at is the Nats division. And it's really the NL in general when it comes to the wild card. As we go down the stretch, the AL kind of feels decided already. Right? It's like the Yankees or the Red Sox and the Mariners and the A's. They're really the only ones competing for wild card spots right now. Everybody else is 10, 12 games back in their respective divisions and nowhere near in the totality of wins close to vying for it. But in the National League, there's at least 8 teams, and it's highlighted by the NL East. Everybody but the Mets are playing fantastic. Philly, surprise. Obviously, the Braves, surprise as well. Sitting a half game back, as you see there, the Nationals, who we keep saying because of their staff with Scherzer and I'm forgetting the other
Strasburg.
They have the best staff.
Murphy's back healthy,
exactly.
Missed most of the season.
So you know that they're going to be on the come. They're not a 500 team right now, unless Bryce Harper keeps playing the way that BT was just describing. So they're going to make a run in the NL East. But I think so many teams vying in the National League is juxtaposed against only really 3 or 2 in the American League. It's going to be a story coming down the stretch.
You know, I could play off that here because the standings, just to play that out here. First time, we've never had 4 teams win 100 games. And we very
that
well
feels
might
like
get
it's
that this season.
That feels like it's happened.
And for that to happen, you got to have some bad teams, obviously, because you beat up on them and you pad the win total here. The AL Central is really weak. And listen, we'll give the Royals a pass because they've had a nice run. They won a series. They got to another one. I think economically they're a little challenged, obviously. We saw what happened with Hosmer with San Diego. They elected to let him go, and Moustakas only got the 1 year, maybe 8 or 9, whatever the money was. I might be off with that, but it was a 1 year deal. So they're a little limited. The Tigers are rebuilding smartly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the right move here. The Twins are a little bit of a disappointment here. There's not many teams in either division, either league right now that you really want to watch. There's some bad. Now, the teams that you want to watch
are really riveting. Yeah.
But there's some bad teams. So is this the year that we get 4 teams win over 100? They're all in the same the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros, and the Mariners. And my guess is I think all 4 get there, but we'll see.
Quick question, though,
yep.
About the Mariners. We'll take a break and we'll get our last one here. Mm. When Robinson Cano comes back, what do you do with him?
Well, D. Gordon, every time you look up, D. Gordon's got – I mean, he's going to obviously play somewhere. He's going to play the outfield.
Yeah, no, it's not
second.
Like he's not
going to be.
But, I mean, seriously, it's an
– I don't think – isn't Robinson – he's not going to be eligible for the playoffs, Cano, is he? He's not.
No.
He's
no.
not.
So it doesn't even matter, really.
I mean, listen.
So it's weird. Like, when he comes back, what do you
almost have to treat him like he's not on the team.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense.
But he's going to be back for 30 games.
I understand
right?
that. But if you're rolling and you're vibing as a team, the way you're set up, the last thing you want to do is, and even though he's a great player, he's making big money, insert him and run the risk. And then it makes no sense.
And then have him sit down
October.
He's not
eligible.
That wasn't one of my stories, but I think about it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Simply because of how much money he's making, former Yankee. Obviously, his PED suspension. The timing is going to be very odd for the Mariners when he comes back.
And
he's going to want to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I'll tell you this. Before the PEDs, he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
No doubt Hall of Famer. So you want to save the third one here? You want? What do you save the third and come back? Okay.
Yeah. Samter said, why can't he play? He can play, beat Samter, but the problem is he can't play in the postseason.
No. I'm saying it's like he served his 80 games. I understand it's an MLB rule. He served his 80 games. He served his punishment.
Why can't he play in the postseason?
I understand it's part of the rules, but
I don't know.
It feels like double jeopardy to me.
I didn't get into that thought process. I just thought the fact he can't play in the postseason, but he's going to have to play for at least, 15, 20 games.
By the way, for a guy who's telling us to break, he wants to get on the Cano conversation.
Bringing on new stuff.
This guy.
Thanks, Samter.
All right, we got the blast coming up. We'll give you our third storyline. Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227, at Tiki and Tierney. We'll get back with some more baseball to sex. CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of times in our car during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, it's free. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Here on Tiki and Tierney, 23 minutes past the hour. Busy Monday. Actually, busier than usual. I mean, let's face it. We can't fool you if you're a devout sports fan. Generally, a pretty quiet time. Yeah. Kind of crickets, usually.
Not a lot going on.
But it's decent. Obviously, we started the show with the World Cup. And the story of the New York Times over the weekend on Saturday about the, what we thought was an encouraging narrative to the sport of soccer is really suffering through some alarming decline in number of participation. So we did that. Got the Derby tonight, obviously. Second half, we had Cal Ripken on the show. That's going to be on our website. Just go to TikiandTierney.com, YouTube, check it out. And giving you a sense of a few second-half baseball storylines, and we gave two of the first three. So just recap, what were your first two?
So my first one was, where is Manny Machado? That's the obvious one. Where is he going to end up? Whether it's the Yankees, and that's maybe just a smokescreen, the Brewers or the Phillies are the ones that are taking center stage now. Number two is the NL East, really, and the wild card in the National League is eight viable teams. We're in the American League. I mean, it's either Yankees, Red Sox, or and probably the Mariners or the A's. It's not a ton of competition for that second wild card, because the first one's going either the Yankees or the Red Sox. So it's a discrepancy in the National League and the American League.
Okay, my first one was Bryce Harper. As good as he is and as young as he is, hitting 209, and we've never seen such a monster contract. We all think he can get $400 million, at least high threes, possibly starting with a four. We'll see what happens with Machado as well. But, man, if he doesn't really recover, not that he won't get big money, it's going to be a harder sell. Imagine if he hits 217. Mm-hmm. That just looks unsightly.
Agreed.
I mean, man. Four teams, that's my first one with Harper. The second one is... first time ever champ. And listen, baseball has such deep history. It's rare when you get something like this, and it's never happened before. So I think it's really interesting. No teams, or we've never had four teams win at least 100 games. And we're on par for that with the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, who have tried to defend as world champions, and of course the Brewers, who have had a nice season. And the Brewers are reportedly in the mix to get Machado. So that would only bolster their chances to win triple digits. So those are our first two. What do you have for number three, T? Go ahead.
It's interesting when I think about this next guy, because we had him on actually when our show first started. Mike Trout is, I mean, as gentle a superstar as you'll ever meet. We talked to him. He was a star. I think he'd already won an MVP or on his way to winning one. You wouldn't have known it. You'd think you're just talking to a guy who, puts his pants on one day at a time, grabs his glove, and goes plays baseball.
Yeah,
right.
That's what he does.
He's just South Jersey boy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately a Philly fan, but you know what I mean? It was one of those like eye-opening conversations, because he was like the anti star that we've gotten to know. And this year, it's no different, man. You look at what he's doing. He's hitting 310. He's got 25 bombs, 50 RBIs. He's on track to – he's going to win the MVP again, right? And yet I look at where he is and save a couple
just
of seasons.
He looks like a baseball player, exactly. Doesn't he? Just looks like one.
Perfectly fit, perfect build, everything.
Central casting, center field
Central
start.
Casting is right. But other than a couple seasons, I mean, they're not viable, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to the postseason once.
They
got
to get pitching, Teach.
I know, but 2014, when they won 98 games and then they lost the LDS, got swept out of the LDS. It's the only time we've seen probably the greatest player of the last 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is.
Position
player. Probably even longer. You're right.
You might say 2-3 decades, and I don't think
you're right.
If you said saying
how long he's been playing.
I hear you. But if you said in 30 years, you might get the A-Rod.
Yeah.
But people wouldn't challenge you too vehemently.
You're right.
That's not an outlandish statement.
At least to me, the most pure baseball athlete. I mean, he reminds me of Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how dominant, physically athletically superior Bo Jackson felt? That's how Mike Trout feels to me when I watch him. It's just like this dude's like it's like a baseball god.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's on an irrelevant team. I mean, it's not a storyline that people are going to talk about, but it's one that I can't help think about when I think about baseball.
It's a good one, and you know, it's not totally unique in baseball. Like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's happened before. You mean?
Yeah, like you know, Dave Winfield played his first 7 or 8, maybe. Mike, can you look that up, please?
But was he as dominant as
Dave Winfield? I mean, it's a different game, obviously.
Of course.
Maybe first 7-8 years. I mean, for the Padres in relative anonymity, when you didn't get the Padres on national TV, they weren't good. This was before they got to the World Series in '84, and lost to the Detroit Tigers. I mean, that happened to Winfield. There's been Ernie Banks never played a World Series game for the Cubbies. Baseball's that one sport where just because of the 9 players on the field.
Yeah.
That's similar to football. Walter Payton went through this before they finally cracked through late. But you can put up Hall of Fame, all-time numbers, and you can never be seen. And, you know, quote-unquote seen.
Yeah.
Now everybody can be seen everywhere because we could watch anything anywhere. But how many years with San Diego, Mike, before the Yankees? It was 8. Yeah. I mean, I don't ever really, because he came to the Yankees in 81. They went to the World Series and lost to the Dodgers. I don't remember him. I don't ever remember watching him even against the Mets, and I watched the Mets as much as I watched the Yankees because my dad's a National League fan. I can't remember ever seeing Dave Winfield in that mustard yellow, that brownies outfit, and that's what he wore back then. I outside of This Week in Baseball highlights or YouTube stuff. But it happens sometimes.
It does.
Baseball players kind of get buried in baseball purgatory.
A-Rod won the MVP on a last place team
with the Texas Rangers.
In 03.
Yep.
Yeah. And who was the other one? Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson, the Hulk.
87.
He was money.
Yeah, he was.
Boy, he had bad knees. But that outfield, that Expo. I know you're talking about he was with the Cubs, but that Expo's outfield when he first came up. Tim Raines, Andre Dawson. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had some play. I mean, they were legitimate. All right, my third one is about, when he's right, the best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw. Now, Kershaw's 30 years old. He's been around 11 years. He's made over 300 starts. Now, what's interesting about this, we know he's been a little bit beat up this season, as he has the last couple. Various ailments, primarily his back, though. Clayton Kershaw has got an opt-out this season. And I'm just double-checking. I believe it's $32 million. I just want to make sure I have this right. He can opt out. No, he can opt out at 35.
Wow.
So if he doesn't show that he's healthy and dominant, he's not going to opt out.
Of course.
Because he's not going to get that on the market.
Right.
So he stays and he eats away at the, you know, not the cap space, but their ability to go get somebody like Bryce Harper or Machado in the offseason. And if he does recover and he gets back on this, you know, first ballot, you know, Steve Carlton, like Nolan Ryan, even though no one's a righty, Sandy Koufax Hall of Fame path, then that's a story as well.
Mm-hmm.
So whether if he's great or if he's not, or if he's injured or he's not, he's a huge story because you just haven't heard a whole lot of Clayton this year.
Right.
Haven't heard from him.
You can't forget. Seriously, you
I mean,
forget.
He's just, what is his record this year? I don't even know.
3-4.
They
just had it up. 3-4.
I didn't see the TV put it up.
Yeah.
3-4. And
he's not pitching horribly.
No. I hear you. But he's 7 decisions. It's the middle of July.
I know.
And here's You know, he's got all the Cy Youngs. I mean, he's just 7 All-Star games. I mean, he's got 16 awards. He's got, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ERA titles. You know, I don't think this is the end for Kershaw, but what if it is, being that dominant pitcher? I'd be sad. Really sad. All right, let's see what Jay Bourbon's doing. Get you that in a second. Tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, relive one of golf's greatest moments by taking a look back at Bob Tway's iconic bunker shot. This was crazy. The crazy thing about this bunker shot, number one, Greg Norman, poor Greg Norman. Greg Norman was watching. Greg Norman was trying to win. But the difficulty of, and I don't, Bob Tway was not a historically great player. I mean, even though he won this. But the lip of the bunker, you got to go check this out on YouTube. The lip of the bunker was so pronounced. It almost looked like it had a Scottish feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Not like, but it was just
not like the
intimidating.
Pop bunkers, but yeah.
But close.
Yeah.
So he had to get it up quick, right? He had to get height fast. And he short-sided himself. So the pin was very close to the fringe. So he had no room to land it. So, I mean, I was just watching it on YouTube again just to see exactly the shot. Boy, what a tough shot. So they're going to relive this tonight. Don't miss the PGA Championship archives on CBS Sports Network. Okay, Jay Bourbon's update is now. We have the blast after that. Big Jay, take it away. Okay, we will get to the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, we'll go with this one. Today's question comes in from Robert Patricks at Soho Cali. Would you guys wear the customized Lakers shorts King James was wearing with the team logo written across the crotch like he was last night in Vegas? Hashtag ask the pros.
Mm. No.
I'm sensing both answers are no.
No, and I'll answer with BT, no, but they sold for $500.
Who's selling those for $500?
They sold out. I don't know, but somebody just sold them out for $500 a pair.
See, I saw that they were $500, but I actually thought that, like, LeBron had them custom made. That's actually a new style. Sold those like a website.
Who knows? Ugh. It's something I'm sure he's backing or invested
in. Let's hope that trend is not going to permeate mainstream society.
It's ridiculous. Who is it, Samter?
No, I'm just saying, if LeBron's wearing it, it will permeate society.
No, it won't.
It might. I mean, listen, it could. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
How many crazy, ridiculous, nonsensical outfits did we see NBA MVP Russell Westbrook wearing?
Yeah, but he's just a different
guy. And how many?
But that hasn't caught on
too much.
How many
of those did you see?
But that didn't catch on.
Of course it didn't.
No, but Russ doesn't have the cachet that James has.
I know
has.
He doesn't, but still.
I mean, his outfits
nobody, are hideous. Nobody replicated that.
He dresses like Urkel.
Worse.
Like a neon Urkel. Worse. Like neon, like, oh, I just terrible. That's
worse.
His style's terrible.
Worse. This is pretty bad, too.
Although I have to admit.
It's hard to make Lakers look uncool.
I hate their colors. Lakers, I just don't like yellow. I don't like purple.
Purple's royalty. Ugh. I like it. It's my favorite color.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Really?
But the gold and yellow, gold and purple, not necessarily, but the Lakers works, man.
The old,
it's the Lakers.
But I hear you. You gotta have the certain body to look good in a Lakers uni. Mm. Like Travis Knight looked bad, if you remember him, the big, the center from UConn.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're all streamlined and if you look like Kobe, you're going to look good in anything.
Yeah, Shaq looked all right.
Yeah. Shaq looked a little meaty. He was a little bit out of shape during those Laker days. Certainly at the beginning he was. And then Kobe kind of kicked him into the behind. I think that the style, at our age, if you ever see us wearing those, just throw us in the nearest river because we've given up on life. But I will tell you this, though. When I played in I told you, I got kicked off the basketball team in high school, and I still wanted to play. So I played in a pretty good winter league, right? And this is what's such a cocky move now that I think about this. We were the only white team in a league, and we were pretty good. And I got, this is when the Fab Five style, like the shorts, so I had these huge, I got a picture of this,
like
too.
Like past your knees?
But they were also bad. I also had skinny legs, too. Really baggy. And you know what I had? I went to a sporting goods store, and you know what I had stamped on the back? Like, not stamped, like with a, like with the, were they,
yeah,
the heat press, the, you know what I put on the, you know what I put on the back of my shorts?
Go ahead.
I swear to God.
What?
Swish.
No, he did.
I swear to God. And I trained a lot of jump shots in that league. I was the way, I swear to God. It's funny because the best player on that team, my buddy Beanie, he sent a picture within like the last 2 months on Facebook to a bunch of us here, and this is the team that was coached by the woman. Anytime I reference that, Joyce, great lady, great coach too. But it was a picture of the front of us. I've got some action shots. I got to find the picture of these shorts. What an idiot! Just come on. Who does that?
Did people like call you out on this?
Yeah, they tried to. I just drained a J&M mug. I can't say nothing about it. And if they came up, I dribbled and I yoked in their face.
I love his trash
And then the dream
talk.
Ended.
I love the trash talk.
But I wasn't even really saying anything.
Yeah.
My shorts were saying it.
Of course it is. You don't have to say anything when you got swish written all on your
I
ass.
Was in the three-point contest. They had an all-star game, and I finished third, like third out of 10th. I didn't win it, but decent showing. Sorry. Decent showing. Are you ready for the blast here, T?
Yeah.
Let's go. All right, Teak, we start Richard Sherman ripping Seattle. He rips the Seahawks, his former team. Says they've lost their way. Is Seattle's window shut?
Lost their way? I mean, maybe they've lost some players. There's not a ton. I mean, there hasn't been. Doug Baldwin offensively is what you look at. And obviously, Russell Wilson. Hopefully, they get some use out of some of their running back. Most importantly, it's their offensive line. It's been so bad. They've made some improvements, but not great ones. DJ Fluker is now their starting right guard, who was here
Chargers,
with the Giants.
Giants.
So we know him. Exactly.
Yep.
Have they lost their way? Probably not. They're kind of in an in-place rebuild.
Yeah.
But is the window closed? I'd say yeah.
See, here's the thing. The window's closed for them to win the same way. Can they reinvent themselves? I mean, it's hard for any team to do that. But with Russell Wilson, I give him a puncher's chance because he's a superstar. And he's still relatively young.
Agreed.
And he's durable.
Agreed.
So they're going to have to really change how they play. And they're in the process of doing that. But I wouldn't say totally shut because Russ Wilson's awesome. All right. Papa John's founder says he'd never work with... What's that guy's name again? How do you say it?
Schnatter,
right? John Schnatter. Says he would never work with Roger Goodell again. That's interesting. Mm. As Goodell is hated, as much as Goodell is despised by a lot of NFL fans and some players as well.
Why do we care what John Schnatter says?
I don't know.
Isn't he no longer CEO?
I'm just reading the blast here. Kind of a slow day, Teak. Roll with it, brother. Is he still good for the growth of the NFL? I imagine you're talking about Goodell, not Schnatter. Schnatter?
Schnatter.
Schnatter? Schnatter.
Schnatter.
Don't
insult William.
I wasn't trying to do that. That's a legend right there. As hated as Goodell is... Is he still good for, you know, I'd have to say that he's still good for the growth of the NFL until it demonstrates that it's not. I mean, really. I mean, TV contracts booming. You know, I know there's a little decline in ratings, although it's been misrepresented. Until the league fails or becomes stagnant financially, Goodell's still doing his job.
To BT's point, Papa John is in a debate whether or not the NFL kicked him out or they kicked the NFL to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that happened, Pizza Hut. We'll take it, plus more money.
Yeah.
Right? So is Roger Goodell good for the game? Absolutely.
That's what was crazy. Like, you would have thought, that's an important thing. Hold on. You would have thought that Pizza Hut would have had to pay, you know.
A discount. 20,
No. Exactly. Yeah. They would have gotten a massive discount.
They got a premium. Like, they played a premium.
Come on in.
They played a premium.
They got more.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. All right, here we go. Jabari Parker to the Bulls. Mm. Can he still be a legit star if he's healthy? Can he be a star if he's healthy?
I mean, he averaged, 20 or so last year? He only played 50 games. I think so, but I think he's got to change his body, BT. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the problem, and it's why I'm, like, hedging a little bit.
Yep.
He's got to, 12 points. I said 20. 12 points per game he played in 50
didn't
games.
Didn't play a lot.
But he didn't play last year, and it's one of those... Can he, in place, change the DNA of who he is? And, you know, my thoughts on this, bad cells.
You tell me one about nobody loves you like your mom.
No. No, that's way past.
No, I hear you.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Because
it's star and not superstar, I'll give him a little bit of a chance here because there's something to be said for putting the ball in the hole. And he's got an interesting skill set. However, you know, he's not a very well-rounded player. Mm-hmm. He's just not. And now you have multiple knee injuries, and you know you're 6'8". Your game's built on bursts and explosions, speed, misdirections. I almost feel like he's kind of like Luol Deng, like that trajectory.
Yeah.
And a couple of years, that wasn't a bad thing.
No,
but he's got a ceiling. He'll never be a superstar.
It stagnates and goes south.
Yeah. Now with Markkanen, okay. Now you got at least but as an isolated superstar, no, I don't see that at all. Not with Jabari Parker. Nope. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, says the shift is making baseball less fun. Is he right? You know, listen, I think he is right, but I don't think that's the only reason. There's just a lot of inaction right now. As much as the athletes are far superior to what they were back in the day, it's either a home run, a strikeout, or a walk. So there's a whole lot of nothing happening.
Yeah, you're right.
And I want to see, when was the last time you saw a guy score from first on a double? Or, you know, a nicely executed, you know, hit and run? Or a really great a relay from center field to the shortstop to a plate to plate.
Give me small ball any day because that's what I always, you know, I think about. I love hitting home runs. I love seeing home runs hit. I could never hit home runs, but I was a small ball guy. Like I could bunt and get on base, and I would steal. Right,
so
I
like nobody bunts anymore.
I agree, I liked that about baseball when you'd see it, and it's why I liked the Royals a few years ago when they were leading up to and ultimately won a World Series because they hit some home runs. They didn't have to
great
win.
Great fielders. They caught everything.
They were disciplined, and the details mattered.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I missed the details a little bit in baseball.
Good call. They kind of remind me of the Cardinals from the early 80s with Whitey Herzog. Really outside of Jack Clark, not a ton of home run hitters. They could all catch it. They could all run. That was a good baseball team, that Royals team. All right, Serena loses the Wimbledon final. Was returned from pregnancy the most impressive feat of her career.
Yeah, this was surprising. I didn't think Kerber had a chance because of the way their games were. It's interesting the way this question is worded and just the thought that, she just had a baby. She should be, we should be happy that she's, finished second at Wimbledon. Trust me, she may have put that post out that this is a win for moms, but she's not happy losing to a girl that she should have beat. So is return from pregnancy a most impressive feat? No, it's not. I think winning another title and increasing her already ridiculous number would have been the more impressive.
Well, it's a different scale because she's so far and above anybody that's ever played the sport. If she doesn't win, it's viewed as an underachievement.
Yeah.
But I'm going to answer this in the context of, and you and I both have kids, so we've seen our wives, go through the stages. And when you get to that third trimester, you are big and you are tired and you are carrying around a lot of weight and you are just super humid at that point. So for her to do that, and then, actually have the baby and go from 25th ranked, I think, going in. I think it was
25th at Wimbledon.
Right? At Wimbledon?
But she was really, way slower than that.
And to get to the championship, I know she got smacked. Was it 6-1? It wasn't really overly competitive. No. 6-1?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it up. That's an incredible testament
it's
to
certainly,
her.
It's certainly. I'm talking relative to her expectations.
I hear you. I'm still going to say it is. There you go. Oh, here we go. Teague's going to pass the buck. Yeah. It didn't fire.
The ending didn't fire. That wasn't me. Left in limbo for no reason. It's Monday.
I got to tell you, D-Cell's starting to annoy me. Get the camera on D-Cell for a second. You never annoyed me until this weekend. Honestly. And you don't even know that you annoyed me either. Well, although you do because I told you when I came in. You know why you annoyed me? We've got a Santa too, but I'm used to this. I'm not even going to incorporate him here. He always does this. The text on the show, me, Tiki, Santa, D-Cell. I send the text out because we had a late night Friday night. Good God, I'm too old for this. I can't do this anymore. Friends were in town, and we had a really long, fun night. All the husbands and all the wives, right? Supposed to be like midnight, wound up 3:15, we're still on the porch. It's 3 o'clock, we're still on my porch. It was crazy. And the next day, they had a baby shower for one of the moms. And every mom was basically like, we'll be gone for whenever we want. Deal with the kids. I'm like, oh. Teague, I felt like I was dead when I opened my eyes on Saturday. I said, holy hell, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. So thank God all the dads, and I put a video on Instagram. It's up there if you guys want to check it out. Oh, like 5-6 dads, 12 or 13 kids watching the World Cup, just trying to get through the day because we were all on that porch, right? So I send the video, and I paraphrase, but I'm like, just a little foreshadow of what married life with kids is all about. And I specifically send it to D-Cell. Again, Santa as well, but I'm used to him just not responding. I'm okay with it at this point. D-Cell never responds to anything. That message was for you. You told us the story the other day about how your girlfriend is now the boss, which means I'm assuming that you've come to terms with you're going to eventually marry her and eventually you're going to have kids, God willing. That was for you. He's got kids. I didn't have to put that. He knows what it's like.
And we talked independently, by the way.
You didn't respond, this guy.
Like, it was a good story.
How do you not even respond like, oh, that sucks. Oh, funny. Just even a token. I'm very sensitive to people who don't do it. You and I, by the way, you and I had hysterical text. You were just separate from these bozos with the wedding.
For my Saturday.
Tell them about the wedding real quick.
It was up in Middletown, or Goshen, or more closer to Port Jervis. So it was in the woods. Like, literally.
But tell them what they were standing on, right?
They were on logs. We were on logs.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. But you know what happened?
It sounded like a good time.
It actually turned out to be a pretty good time.
But good.
So the next day, you know where we went? We went to...
Amish country.
No. Why am I forgetting the name of it?
Amusement park.
Where they combat with the...
Medieval times.
Went to medieval times. We were the black and white knight.
I always got to make it racial,
The black and white knight won. And when he wins, he goes up and finds a queen in the crowd.
Ooh.
So he comes over and he goes to me. And he wants to give Tegan the queen.
Right? I think he's going to make you the queen.
No, but Tegan was like terrified.
Uh-huh.
So Brooklyn was the queen.
Of course, the ham. Brooklyn's fine.
She was the ham. And
was she really?
Absolutely loved it. She's like, nice. I'm the queen. I'm like, only because your sister didn't want to be.
Second place, really, right? I got you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.